Whatnot the Podcast, Lent Up Early Edition. Pastor Brian Wolfmuller here with you today, Wednesday, March 16th, the year of our Lord, 2022. Here's a short devotion on the cup that Jesus doesn't want to drink from in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let this cup pass from me if it's your will. And then a question about how to use the Book of Concord devotionally in the life of the church. A good question. Here's a podcast. The cup. Here's a devotional thought. I'm looking in Luke 22, verse 41. Well, verse 40. Jesus is with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." Temptation is what Jesus had called his whole ministry earlier when they were in the upper room. And then the text reads this, "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. We know that Jesus prays three times, "If possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done." And this is so important, because the things that are about to happen to Jesus, his arrest, the indignities in the house of Annas and Caiaphas, the abuse at the hands of the soldiers of Pilate, the mockery in the court of Herod, the scourging, the spit, the mockery, the crucifixion, all of the suffering, all of the wickedness that's about to unfold, all of the evil that is going to be done to Jesus. Jesus wants us to know that this is the cup that the Father is giving to him. I mean, we read the text and we're tempted to be so angry at the Sanhedrin or at Pilate or the soldiers or the disciples for forsaking him, or even at ourselves, because we know that it's our own sin that Jesus is enduring the wrath or the punishment of on the cross. And yet this is the cup that the Lord has given Jesus to drink, and he drinks it, this cup of God's wrath, to the dregs. And that is the main thing, that Jesus is forsaken by God, that it is the will of the Lord to crush him. Psalm 22, Isaiah 53. That the Lord is there on the cross because he desires more than anything else to save us. So he takes up the cup. He doesn't want to, but he does it willingly because he submits to the will of the Father, and he drinks it to the dregs for you. So God be praised, and may the Holy Spirit help us as we read through the events of the Passion to think this is the cup appointed by the Father, for the Son, for you and for me. God be praised. Rick asks, "Pastor, I'm an elder in what was a 250-plus member LCMS church. It's gone through loss of our shepherd, loss of several church workers and elders, loss of families due to discord. You spoke of using the Book of Concord to educate and revitalize elders and church workers through study of what we are confessing and promising when we accept these roles. Any suggestion and direction you could give us will be brought to our elders. Our prayers are for you, your ministry, and our church, etc." Thanks, Rick. Great question. Sorry that the church has been through such trouble. I think the Book of Concord was written, well, it was written in times of theological distress to bring together some unity and joy in our own confession. And it really does that well. Remembering that the Book of Concord was published in 1580, making it older than most of the elders of the church. I need a laugh track or something. And then that it's also 10 different documents, the creeds, the apology and defense of the Augsburg Confession, 3 from Luther, small called, large and small catechisms, the formula of Concord, and a little appendix by Philip Melanchthon to the small called articles. But it's interesting in your situation. So normally when people say, hey, how do I get into the Book of Concord? I would say, start with the small and large catechisms, then look at the Augsburg Confession, especially the first 20 or so articles, and then dive into Luther, small called, and then loop back to the apology. So that would be my normal order. But in your case, I would start with the epitome of the formula of Concord. So the formula of if you look at the formula of Concord, you'll notice there's actually 2 documents there. There's the solid declaration and then the epitome. There's 12 articles in both. And the solid declaration was written first by this committee, mostly led by Martin Chemnitz, but there's Andrade, and there's a committee of 5 theologians that are working on this together. They wrote the solid declaration, and then they did their own cliff notes, and that's called the epitome, which means the summary of the solid declaration. So the epitome is not that long. But if you look at the epitome of the formula of Concord, you'll notice a couple of things. Number one, it starts out with a preface that says how we do theology. We start with the scriptures. We look next at the Augsburg Confession. We clarify what both sides of the argument are saying. We search the scriptures to see what is said about them, and then what the Lutheran theologians said, and then what the church has said in the past. So the epitome of the formula is really teaching us not only how to do theology, but how to do theology in the midst of conflict. And then it shows you how to do that in the articles that follow. It talks about original sin, righteousness, the person of Jesus, law and gospel. Beautiful, beautiful discussion of law and gospel. Third use of the law. It talks about the Lord's Supper, the person of Christ, the doctrine of election, the descent of Jesus into hell, what to do with things that are indifferent. And so it's a bunch of the fights that came up after Luther's death in the church, and it shows how they're wrestling with them. And so it's a really wonderful document, and especially because it points you to Scripture. So I would start to study the epitome together. And I would do this, I would commit to doing this, is that every time they mention a scripture, I would go and read it as you're studying it together. Maybe even read the paragraph in which that scripture is found. And you'll find yourself over and over again being sent into the scriptures and opening the Bible together to sort out what is true and how to settle these theological debates. So that's my advice for you, Rick. I would love to put together a Bible study of the epitome. In fact, we started working on this a number of years ago where we'd have a single-page handout. We'd just take a chunk from the epitome and turn it into a Bible study. They might be on the website somewhere. I don't know how you'd find them. Where would those be? Bible studies? I'll look, Rick, and see if I can find those for you. But that would be my suggestion for you. I hope it's helpful. Thanks for the question. God's peace be with you. Thanks for being part of this little theological special interest group. Wednesday, whatnot, and Lent up early. Hope it's a blessing to you and to your family. If it is helpful, please share it. That's how the word gets around. If you want to leave a message, you can do that at the website, wolfmuller.co/... I don't know what slash contact maybe or slash look at the audio, whatnot, the podcast. There's a button to leave a message there. You can send a message. All the other theology and all the other stuff is available there on the website. Rick mentioned in his question the Book of Concord. You can find the Book of Concord all online for free, bookofconcord.org. And that's a great resource. If you don't have that, that's really a wonderful text to study and to know and to rejoice in. I think that's all for today. Thanks again for being here. Lord willing, we'll talk to you tomorrow. God's peace be with you.